Thanks so much for joining us today. Our hope and prayer is that God will use this message powerfully in your life and that it'll bring you closer to Him. If you'd like more information about our church, or if you'd like to hear more messages, you can visit vibechurch.com or download our app. Now get ready to receive a word from the Lord.
It's so exciting to be here this morning. I've been here before. You know, I went to Costa Rica with my family the last 5 years since I lived here in South Carolina. And we've been back since then, you know. We've been here in short visits. I have been invited to preach a couple times here with you guys. But to know that now this is our new home and we're moving back for good, that is just a different feeling. That's just a different feeling. And we're feeling excited. Excited to know what that God has a plan for all these, you know. And let me tell you, it's been a long, long road to get here. Emotionally, spiritually, physically, financially, you know, it has been a crazy ride to get where we are right now as a family. Trusting God, you know, obeying His calling, waiting for His perfect time, learning, growing. And we know now that all the things, good, bad, scary, exciting, new, old, successes and mistakes, they were all part of what God had intended for us to learn along the way, to prepare us for this moment. And the fact that Sarah grew up around the corner just here in Blythewood makes us feel like we're coming back home after a very, very long journey. And life feels like that, right? It feels like sometimes it's a very, very long journey, a crazy, sometimes unpaved, muddy, bumpy road home, right? And we wish that life would always be a smooth, fast road to success, because we want to get there ASAP, you know? We wish that the road will be paved and smooth, glazed with amazing views and shortcuts that are fun to take to get us there faster. But it's not always the case, right? In the last few weeks here at Vive, we've been going through these series that Randy goes over every summer. And every summer we study one of the 66 books of the Bible. And we learn about the life lessons that the Bible has to offer for us. And this year, we're studying the book of Romans. And our catchphrase is, Romans, the road home. And let me tell you what. When I was a kid, I didn't speak any English. And it's not that it's that great right now, but I speak some English now. At least I can communicate. And you'll see that I'll make a few mistakes along the way. But when I was a kid, I didn't know any English. And Sarah didn't speak any Spanish. She was a missionary kid growing in Costa Rica. I was a missionary kid growing in Costa Rica, but it was my hometown, so I didn't have to learn any other language, right? But when I met her, she was 8 years old, and our families clicked and got together, and we started serving the Lord together. Well, I wanted to learn English. You know, it's not that I was in love with Sarah, but she was really pretty when she was a little girl. You know, she was 8 years old. I was 11. And I really wanted to learn English, you know, and she wanted to learn Spanish. And so we saw each other each summer, right? And in between summers, I did my best to learn some English. So I started to listen to music in English, watching TV in English, you know, watching movies, and trying to learn some. And of course, I didn't have no clue how to do this. I was a little kid. And one of my favorite things to do to learn English, or at least to try to learn some enunciation, you know, was to listen to music in English. And so this song, this is back in early 90s, and this song was one of my favorite English songs, although I didn't know what the heck the words mean back then, you know. And my parents, the good thing is that my parents didn't speak any English, so they were okay with me listening to anything. So this, not in Spanish, but in English, I could listen to whatever I wanted, and they wouldn't realize what I was listening to. But during that break that I didn't see Sarah, I was hearing to this song. And I started, and you will find me whistling all the time, you know? You know what song? I'm on a highway to hell. I did not have any idea what I was saying. And you know, the next summer when I see Sarah, I'm trying to, you know, to bribe about my new English song. And I'm singing to this missionary kid, you know. Very traditional missionary kid, you know. I'm on a highway to hell. And she's like, what are you saying? What in the world are you saying? My daddy's going to hear you. And I'm like, that's just a new song I learned. And she's trying to explain in broken Spanish what that meant. And she's like, you know, you're saying that you're on the fast route to meet the devil forever? And so anyhow, you know, I was raised very traditional. And back in the day, I was like, oh my God, I've been singing this song the entire year. I better go repent. So I kneeled down and I started crying. I'm like, Lord, please, I don't want to go to hell. I was just kidding. And I start, you know, I burn my CDs. I burn all the pages of my notebooks where I had all the words written down that I didn't know what they meant. But I was trying to study English. And I'm like, Jesus, please, I'm on the highway to heaven. Please take me to heaven. And anyway, this is just one of the things that we do, right? Sometimes we don't even know what we're saying. Sometimes we don't even know what we're doing. And we're just trying our best to fit in. And anyway, highways, roads are fun because they take us places. They take us from point A to point B, and we want to go somewhere. As human beings, we're wired to get somewhere. We don't want to stay put. We want to get somewhere in our lives. And I don't know if you have ever taken a road trip, but they are fun. My family takes a lot of road trips. In fact, I've driven from South Carolina all the way to Costa Rica 4 times with dogs and kids. Not by choice. I didn't have money for the airplane ticket. But when you get ready for a road trip, you need to have a destination. You need to have a route. You need to have a map. You need to have a vehicle. You pack your snacks. You pack your caffeine. You pack your cameras, your clothes. You hit the road. And really, Paul writes this letter to the Church of Romans as a GPS or a roadmap back home to our Father. Romans is the 6th book of the New Testament and is the longest of Paul's letters. And in this text, he explains that salvation is offered only through Jesus Christ. And we cannot earn it by our good deeds. We cannot buy it. We don't deserve it. We just have to receive this precious gift by believing and confessing with our mouths that He is the road home. We have to believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's not the shortest. He's not the fastest way home. But He is the only way home. And Paul goes on and on explaining this throughout the book of Romans. You feel lost? Jesus is the way. You feel unqualified? Jesus is the way. You feel like you don't fit in? Jesus is the way. You feel unworthy? You feel lonely? You feel broken? Desperate? Jesus is the way. And today I want to bring our attention to this Bible verse in Romans 10, verse 9 to 14. And Paul is writing this. And he says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles. The same Lord is Lord of all and righteously blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. How then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Amen? And you know, Paul knew that it wasn't enough with showing us the way. It wasn't enough to give us a map with a route straight to Jesus, straight to God. It wasn't enough to have the fastest route to get there if we were still driving a broken, slow, ugly, and always leaking, sorry life. If our Father in heaven is our destination, in this analogy, Jesus is the highway to get us there, and our lives will be, for this analogy, the car that we're driving every day to try to get there. And let me tell you, we sometimes need to be fixed, right? We're not road trip worthy. We need a complete overhauling sometimes before we can even get on the road and take others safely there. You know, Paul knew this. Paul knew that we were broken inside. You guys, if we're honest, our humanity is not always the most reliable or the fastest vehicle to get us anywhere. Let me explain this to you. A few anniversaries ago, Sarah and I had the opportunity to go to Europe. And we decided to take a road trip around Europe. And it was amazing. We went to France, and from there we drove to Belgium, and then to Amsterdam, and then we went to Germany, and we got to Germany. These roads were amazing. And we hit this amazing highway called the Autobahn, and this is amazing. It's an extra smooth, nice and wide superhighway. The best part is that there's no speed limits. But this is the thing, the car we rented, because we were really proud Americans and we wanted an American car. We didn't trust these French cars, you know? And we decided to rent not a Mustang, not a Corvette, not a GTO. No, we rented this little tiny, ugly Ford Fiesta. And here we are on every man's dream road, and the European mamas are passing us by with their BMW and Mercedes Wanagons. And I was so frustrated. There was no speed limits. And we were driving a little Ford Fiesta that was not made for these amazing roads. We didn't have the right car for this road. You see where I'm going with this? The bottom line is that the highway to heaven was paved by Jesus. But we need to prepare our lives for the ride. We need to be ready. Paul knew this, and in this message, he reveals three key points that, telling us, okay, you know what? We have our destination. We know that the way there is Jesus. But let me give you a few road trip tips. The first tip that he gives us is that the most reliable vehicle is to confess and believe. We're on a highway to heaven. Our Father is waiting for you and me to get there, to come back home with open arms. He's waiting right there for you and me. He doesn't care where you've been, what you've done. All he wants is for you to get there on time for dinner. The Bible says that he has prepared a great banquet. And we're all welcome at his table, people. But let me tell you, the clock is ticking. It's almost time for dinner. Food is almost ready. And it's going to be a huge party. You are invited. You don't doubt that for a second. You are invited. There is a chair with your name on it. Whether you want to believe it or not, there is a chair reserved for you at his table. But He's not going to wait too much longer. He's not going to let the food get cold. It is up to you to get there on time. There's no dress code. There's no background check. You just got to make up your mind and get there on time. He's waiting for you. He sent Jesus to make a way for you and me to make it there. The road was so bad. The road home was so bad that he had to give his only son to fix it, so we can make it there on time. And Jesus made the way. He covered all of our sins and mistakes. All we have to do is to confess and believe. And everything starts right there in our hearts, believing. Verse 10 says, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Guys, this is what it's all about. There are no magic words. It has to start in our hearts. It doesn't say you're safe if you go to church every Sunday, if you go on mission trips every year. It doesn't say if you give this amount of money to the church, if you serve others, if you raise your hands during worship, you will be safe. It says if you believe and if you confess. Of course, all of these things are good, but only if they come out of a heart of full of love, not guilt. In other words, they are only good if they are expressions of a transformed heart. All these things that we do as the body of Christ, they're all good. But only if they are something that we're doing out of our heart that wants and longs to express worship to the one that loved us first. You know, if we lose perspective, all of these things will just become a religion. A thing we do on Sunday mornings to feel better about ourselves. A selfish attempt to use God in our favor. Let me tell you something. This is something we need to check every day and be honest about it. Because if not, we will become God's gold diggers, right? It will be this crazy idea that we can somehow earn what's already ours, what's already been given to us. People, all we have to do is to believe in our hearts and demonstrate with our actions, with our words, with our thoughts, that we believe in Jesus and we love him. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. God wants a relationship with you. He wants you to willingly and voluntarily decide to spend time with him. And this is available to all of us, to everybody out there. So number two, the road, it's open for everyone that wants to ride it. In Jesus, there are no insiders, people. There are no outsiders. I had three really interesting conversations this week. These three conversations had something in common, and I think I can summarize all of them, the essence of each conversation in few words. Is there anything I need to be or something I need to do to belong, to be part of your church, to be considered a Christian? You know, if I was an outsider, this is the way I would think. And we as the church of God, sometimes we forget how unbelievers think. I was here last Friday and a couple came to check out a car I was selling. And we were in the parking lot. We were talking, you know, about the car. I was showing them the car. And all of a sudden, this lady who is wearing a mask, you know, she asked me something out of the blue. And I'm trying to figure out what she's saying, you know. And she says, "Are you guys in all this stuff?" And for a second, I was like, what is she asking me for? You know? And she pulls her mask down a little bit because she saw that I didn't understand what she was asking. And she says, Are you all a mixed church? You all have a mixed church here? And I'm from Costa Rica, guys. This is not something that somebody asks you down there. We don't have that. We don't have that down there. So what was like a probably 2-3 seconds for me to spin my wheels and respond something, you know, it felt inside like years. Like I was spinning my wheels as fast as I could to try to make sense of this question first and have a proper response. And I'm like, what does she mean? Inside my head, I was like, what does she mean by a mixed church? Did she just realize I'm not black and I'm not white? I'm like this weird coffee and cream color? Did she just realize that my wife is really white and I'm Hispanic? What does she mean? Does she mean that if we have Baptists and Pentecostals and traditionals mixed together in the church, what does she mean? And all of a sudden I'm realizing, you know, it's all about the race. And I'm like, I'm not going to answer that. I'm going to tell her what I think Jesus would say. And I said, yes, we're all mixed together. We have alcoholics. We have drug addicts. We have ex-convicts. We probably have a few people that have made mistakes in their lives with their kids. We have, you know, and I started telling her, yes, we're all mixed. We're all together worshiping God and, you know, we believe in Him and we love Him. We're all kinds of colors and flavors. And she was concerned about a color code. A different person during the week that I was buying a car from, she happened to be Hispanic. And I didn't know, she spoke really good English, but all of a sudden she turned around and talked to her daughter and started speaking Spanish. And my wife picked it up and she was like, where are you from? In Spanish, right? ¿De dónde eres? And she said, I'm from Honduras. And we started talking and all of a sudden we realized that she's Christian. And she's been looking for a church because her church has been closed down since all this COVID-19 started. And we invite her to come over. And she was concerned about the language and the race limitations of our church. She was like, my kids don't know any English. Can they still come? Oh my gosh, that broke my heart. And another person that I was meeting with this week, he was asking me, hey, my journey with Jesus is just restarting. I walked with Him, but I walked away, and now it's just starting. Can I belong? I'm looking for a place to belong. And I say, sure you can. Who are we to choose if God set up a place at this table with your name on it? Who are we to judge if you are welcome? If God is waiting for you? If God paid the price for your life? Who are we to judge or to choose who gets to come in or who gets to stay out? Besides, I told them, I'm no better than you. I'm all of those things. I'm a sinner. I'm still in a journey with Jesus. I'm a different race. I speak a different language. I'm a different color. I'm all of those things. And Jesus came to rescue not just you, but me too. I was lost. Sure you can. People, the road to salvation is open for everyone. We cannot go around destroying the rams to get on this highway to heaven. Or building toll booths and inspection points. We cannot forget that He made a way and it's open to everyone. We were Gentiles one time. We were outsiders. We're still broken in many ways, but we found grace, and this grace is enough for everyone, and we have to share it. We have to share it. But people, if we're honest, this is the perception that most unchurched people have about the church. about Christianity. We look to them as an exclusive club of judgmental people that want to do charity work once in a while, just to feel better about themselves, but not really willing to invite you in. I'm not saying that's who we are as Vive Church. I'm just saying that's the perception that a lot of people have about churches in general. Why do you think that most churches have such a low return on their investments? We spend energy, we spend time, we spend effort in putting together all of these mission trips and outreaches, and people show up, they eat our food, they hear our music, they take the gifts, but they still think, there's no way I can fit in that church. They're too good for me. I have all this crazy life and brokenness in my life. They look so good. I don't think I can fit in. There's no way they could take me in as I am. And if we would only spend some time sharing our story and letting them know that we are no better, things will change. People, there's so many people out there saying, I will never measure up. And I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying that we are intentionally projecting this image at Vive Church. In fact, I think it's the complete opposite. Once you're in here, you realize this is a come as you are church. Come with all your baggage and we will love you. But my question is our message getting out there? Is our identity as a church of Jesus getting out there? Are we letting people know that they're welcome at our table? People, the image that most people have about churches in general is that we only hang out with our own kind within the walls of our club. You want to belong? Okay, get your act together first. Fill up an application and don't call us. We'll call you. It shouldn't be like that. Salvation through Jesus is an open road for all. And this is not something that we can resolve here in the offices of Vive Church. This is something we do together. This is something that we have to do together. We could put up another system to make sure that everybody knows that we're welcoming everybody. But this happens when you and me have meaningful conversations with real people as real humans. Listen what Paul says in verse 11. It says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For this, there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles. The same Lord is Lord of all and rightly blesses all who call on him. For everyone, again, who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So this verse continues to confirm that there's no way to get to heaven, but Jesus. But then Paul adds, by the way, this is not exclusive to you. This is not just for some kind of VIP club. There is no Jews and Gentiles. There's no black or white, yellow or brown. We're all the same. We're on the same journey to get back home. Everyone is welcome. No credit, bad credit, foreclosure, bankruptcy. Everyone is approved. And let me tell you something. Doing church like this is going to get messy. It's going to be messy. But it's also wonderful. It's also wonderful to be able to be part of transforming lives, bringing people to life. The goal is that one day, every nation, every tongue, every tribe will have access to Jesus, our superhighway to heaven. So if you haven't started your journey with Jesus, if you still feel like an outsider and are trying to understand if you fit in, the good news is that salvation is available to you. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, Jesus is for you. And all you have to do is to believe and confess. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord. And this is my last road trip tip. Is if you already know the way, Well, then help others get there. Help others ride with you. The world needs to hear that Jesus is for them and not against them. That they can run back to the Father and he's going to be there waiting for them with open arms. That he's waiting for them despite of what they've done. Despite of what the world thinks they are. People, the highway to heaven, the highway to the Father has been paved by Jesus. But the problem is that the ramp to get on that highway is often remains unfinished because of us. A lot of times we're not doing our job to open this highway to heaven because of our prejudiced mindsets. And Paul writes in verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be safe. And in verse 14, he continues saying, but how are they going to get there? And I'm just going to paraphrase. You can read it at home. How are they going to get there if they haven't heard the good news about Jesus Christ? And how are they going to hear about him if nobody tells them? And how is someone going to go out and tell them if they're not sent? You know, we cannot go around judging and condemning people. Our job is to love them into a relationship with Christ. God will take care of that. The Holy Spirit will convince them of what things they need to change in their lives. Our job is only to love them. The world is desperate. They are to be loved, to be accepted. People are desperate to know that it's okay to make mistakes, that it's okay to come home because you belong. And we can not go around sending mixed messages with our actions, people. We cannot go out of the church and start our week. And from Monday to Saturday, have this attitude that if you're divorced, not welcome. Are you homosexual? No, not welcome. Struggling with pornography? Not welcome. Have a sinful past? No, you're not welcome. You don't understand the rituals and words we speak at church? You're not welcome. And so many barriers are raised, many times without knowing. Too rich, too poor, too young, too old, too many tattoos, hair too long, you don't like the right kind of music, don't have the right theology, the right color, the right language, you're not welcome. Well, here's the news flash, guys. It doesn't work like that. And we better understand this because the kingdom of heaven will be a mixed church. You're going to be surprised of the people you're going to find sitting at God's table. We have to build bridges and ramps so everybody can get on this road home. And they need to hear from you because they don't understand the concept of a loving God yet. They need to hear from you. Someone that they can see, someone that they can hear, someone that they can trust. They need to hear from you and me. Jesus already did his part. He's the one that brings people to life. He paved the way home to our Father. And you and me have the amazing opportunity to be part of all this, to carry on his message. We need to stop building walls and we need to start building ramps so people can get home. Last year, and let me close with this. Last year, we had the amazing opportunity to go to Israel with my family. It was my parents, my two sisters, their husbands, and me and Sarah. And we went to Israel, and we spent a couple days near King David's palace. And at the end of the plaza that is in front of King David's palace, we found the Western Wall, or the, correct me if I'm pronouncing it wrong, the Wailing Wall of Jerusalem. And it was amazing to see all these Jews broken in front of this wall, crying because they were not good enough to go to the other side. This wall represented a division this was as the closest they could get to God's presence. On the other side of this wall was the Holy of Holies of the Temple of Jerusalem. They'd never been in there. This was the closest they could get. And you could hear them crying and praying, begging for redemption, for forgiveness, for acceptance. 613 commandments that they have to comply to. 613 commandments that tells them that they're not good enough. And you know, we find that similar story in the Bible where the disciples are like, Jesus, you know what? This is too hard. Trying to comply to the law is too hard. I don't even know if we can do it. Can we cut it out to 50%? If you would say, what would you say is the most important things? Maybe we can just comply to a couple of the commandments and, you know, and that will be good enough. What would you say is the most important thing? And Jesus is like, let me tell you something. I'll make it easier for you. It's not going to be 50%. How about two commandments? And I can just imagine the disciples, their minds being blown away. All of a sudden, this is summarized, simplified, and actually doable. Jesus himself said, you know what? It is very simple. Don't stress out. You can live an amazing life. You can feel satisfied. You can have true happiness. No matter what comes your way, you can be a blessing to others. Make a difference in the world. And on top of that, go to heaven. If you only love God and love others. It is that simple. We already belong. We just have to find our way home. But it's time for us, guys, to bring the walls down. To bring the walls down. And maybe those walls have been built in our own hearts and we don't feel enough. And we need to bring those walls down. And the first thing that you need to understand if you want to love God and love others is that you are loved. God loves you. He's not there with a checklist trying to see if you're worthy or if you're good enough. He loves you just the way you are. He's just desperate for you to run home to his arms. That's all he cares about. Once you get there, you'll get to talk to him about your issues and your broken heart. And he'll start giving you a few advices of how to fix it. But all he cares for is for you to run home. Run home. So it's time for you to bring those walls down and say, God, here I am, just as I am, ready to run home. And if you feel like you're already home, then it's your job to do the same for others. Help them to get there. Help them to get there. Help them to get there. Let me remind you something. The highway to heaven was paved by Jesus, but we need to prepare our lives for the ride. Remember, you do this by believing in your heart, confessing, and living out a life that honors and shows how much you love God. We need to understand that salvation is not exclusive to some. It's inclusive to all. So, would you stand up and pray with me? Would you stand up and say, God, here I am. I'm in this highway to heaven, but sometimes it feels like I'm heading the other direction. Sometimes it feels like I need to learn a new song. Say, Jesus, would you help me to get there? Will you show me the way? Would you confirm in my heart that I am enough, that I'm accepted in your kingdom, that you have a way for me, you made a way for me? Can you tell him, Jesus, I need you. I need you. Help me stop pretending or trying to earn it, Lord. I just want to run to your arms. And as we sing this song, why don't you tell him, Jesus, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. I'm here for you.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're hoping that this message brought you to life. If you have any prayer requests or if you'd like to connect with our church family, you can email us at info@vibechurch.com or you can fill out the contact card section in our app. We're looking forward to hearing about all the ways that God is moving in your life. And until next time, go bring somebody to life.